countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
Thanks.
Catherine and Hannah farm together outside Croom in County Limerick.
In 500 metres, turn right.
And after the Mart sale had finished in Nina, I took up their invite to pay them a visit for the first time.
Your destination is on the left.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Damien.
You made it back from the Mart.
We did, and you're very welcome to the farm here at Tory Hill. It's
lovely to have you. Tory Hill.
And the Irish name for the hill is Cnoc Dromossel, which means it's the hill of the donkey's back. If you're driving up from it, it looks like a dipped donkey's back from far away.
So remind us, Hannah, of what you farm here.
So we have 70 acres here, and the land is pretty good. It's all limestone land. And we have a herd of pedigree Herefords, because when Granny came back from England after spending 30 years there, her dream was to have a farm with pedigree Herefords. It was a funny thing, because years ago Granny was actually born in Croom Hospital. It's now an orthopaedic hospital. She was actually born a stone's throw away. She grew up outside a town then called a hospital itself. The eldest of 10 children, milking cows every morning before she headed off to school. But at 18 years of age, like a lot of Irish people in the early 60s, no jobs, no work, she had to go to England, and she worked there for 30 years, but she always, always wanted to come home and have her own farm. Of course, her home farm went to a boy, but that didn't stop Granny. Not much does. So she bought this place in the late 1980s, and it was a wreck. I mean, you see not a lovely big house standing here in front of you now. That house didn't have a staircase, mm-hmm. and the roof was hardly held together. I mean, you wouldn't believe it to look at it now. It's a big stone building, but she put it back together. You know, there'd be nothing here if it wasn't for Granny. That's a buzzard overhead, you might have heard as well. Yeah, we're so lucky because it's in a special area of conservation. So not only do we have all the farm animals, but we have so much kind of life thriving around us between barn owls and buzzards. And we've got kestrels. We're going to put kestrel boxes in.
And did you always want to farm, Hannah?
I always wanted to farm, and I was always told not to farm.
Who told you not to farm?
Granny told me not to farm. She said, there's no money in it. Don't be a farmer, whatever you do. But maybe that was like a red rag to a bull. Maybe that was the wrong thing to say, because I always wanted to be a farmer. I mean, when I was a child, I had a toy farm in my room, and I had lots of Barbies and stuff. But the Barbies were used to standing gaps. That's what they were used for, standing gaps on the toy farm. And I always wanted to be out with Granny, following her around the fields from a very early age. For nearly my first memories are of pulling on my welly boots and following Granny around the fields. I felt very lucky. And I know people are kind of wondering, like, she has parents, doesn't she? Like, I do have parents. I guess it was the fact that my mother and father met when they were in university in Trinity, and I was a bit of a surprise. And by all accounts, Granny was not best pleased with the surprise, because it was her youngest daughter, who was very academic and a bookworm, and it was not part of the plan. So my mother finished her university degree and essentially came back here on the farm. But I'd been coming back and forth here ever since I was a baby. So yeah, I've grown up here, and like I said, I love it here.
Earlier this week, Brendan Kennelly passed away, and you put up a tweet, Hannah, because there is a connection there.
There is. I mean, and it's a very moving connection. So like I mentioned, my mother became pregnant when she was in university in Trinity, and she was only 19 years old. And she overheard some girls making fun of her and the fact that she was pregnant, teen pregnancy, especially back then in the 80s, it was a big thing. And she was crying, and she was crying in a corner of the arts building. And her lecturer, Brendan Kennelly, came along and found her. And he said, oh, come on, I'll come into the rooms and I'll make you a cup of tea. And he said, you know, what name have you chosen for the baby? And she said, oh, if it's a girl, it's going to be Hannah. And he's like, oh gosh, that's a beautiful name. And it meant so much to her. And it was funny, because years later, I went to Trinity and I had rooms on campus, and his rooms were above mine. And I used to carry his shopping upstairs. So it's kind of amazing connection. And he was just such a warm-hearted man. And it was a small act of kindness, but it meant so much to my mother at the time.
Begin. Begin again. To the summoning birds, to the sight of light at the window. Begin to the roar of morning traffic all along Pembroke Road. Every beginning is a promise, born in light and dying in dark. Determination and exultation of springtime flowering the way to work. Begin to the pageant of queuing girls. the arrogant loneliness of swans in the canal. Bridges linking the past and future, old friends passing, though with us still, begin to the loneliness that cannot end, since it, perhaps, is what makes us begin. Begin to wonder at unknown faces, at crying birds in the sudden rain, at branches stark in the willing sunlight, at seagulls foraging for bread, at couples sharing a sunny secret, alone together, while making good, though we live in a world that dreams of ending, that always seems about to give in. Something that will not acknowledge conclusion insists that we forever begin.
We are going to go inside, but in the meantime, we are here on a hilltop, as such, aren't we?
Yeah.
And speaking of hilltops, well, I'm here in County Limerick with Hannah Quinn Mulligan on her farm, which she shares with her granny, Catherine Quinn, and they have a herd of pedigree Herefords, and they sold a few bulls earlier today, so all's good. Hannah, we're back up here now at the house. It's an absolutely fabulous house.
It is absolutely incredible. So it was built in the 1730s, and it's limestone. And we're just coming into the yard now, and this again would have been built in the 1700s, and you can see that from just kind of the layout. Mm. There's stables there, and we call this the coach house that we're going to head into. So it's a big airy building where we've been entertaining in the pandemic, socially distanced entertaining, and the coach house, because as you can see, the tracks that go in and out were made for a carriage.
Okay.
You can actually see that.
So you turned it into a sort of a COVID sitting room.
Yeah, it's very bijou, just for you, okay, David. It's very cute. But yeah, granny's inside. Go on ahead.
Hello, Catherine. Good to see you again.
You too.
Oh, this is absolutely so homely. Oh, and we can hear the fire crackling there in the background. It's a lovely open fire. And how are you?
I'm very good, thank you, Damien.
Relieved?
Relieved, absolutely. I can relax now.
Can we sit down here, Shane?
Yeah,
we'll have a chat.
Yeah.
I mean, have a cup of tea. I was just noticing at the mart that there was only three women there. You were two of them and one other woman. It's still very much a very male-dominated place, isn't it, going to the mart?
Absolutely it is. It is, absolutely.
When you were going to the mart over the years, Catherine, did you always find that you were a little bit out of place? Did people look funny at you and wonder what you were doing there?
I think sometimes they think it's strange, or they think maybe there's somebody else with you. You know that you're not the person selling the cattle. But I suppose I don't think a whole lot about it. I'd be so concentrating so much on what I'm doing and what's happening. That,
you don't pass much remarks.
I wouldn't be thinking too much about it.
And Hannah, the issue of women in agriculture is something very close to your heart that you're actually involved in now.
Yeah, because I think there's nothing that we can't do in farming. You know, and like my tractor doesn't know if a man or a woman is starting it. You know, and the same way with bulls. You know, bulls don't really know if a man or a woman is training them. And even when men are training them, they have tricks like tying a donkey to them. So the donkey does all the donkey work essentially in training them how to lead. So, like, for me, I think farming is just one of the best professions out there. Mm. And I would love to see more young women get involved. But the stats that are there show that actually more women over 80 are considered actively farming than those under 40. And that's not a true reflection of what's going on the ground, because women have always been involved in agriculture. But it's just a matter of actually young women need to be considered successors, and women who consider themselves farm wives need to consider themselves farmers.
What's it been like having your granddaughter farming here with you, Catherine, and looking to continue farm here in the years ahead?
Well, it's very rewarding. It's very hard to find the words to explain how happy I am and how rewarding it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Hannah came here as a baby. She sort of helped bottle feed the calves when she was a tiny tot, you know, only barely able to walk. And it's been like that.
Yeah.
Sort of then she went away to college, and I didn't put any pressure on her to do ag science even. I just felt I wanted her to be free to do what she wanted herself. And I am just so, so happy that she has come back. you know.
And you spent a good period of your time in England, Catherine. What did you do over there?
30 years I was in England. I worked for Barclays Bank initially, and at that time, when you married, you had to leave. You couldn't continue. So I left, and then I had three children, so spent some years looking after them. And then we had a company formation business, so in the City of London. So I was very much involved in that, and sold that then and bought this farm. And this was my dream, I suppose.
Hannah, you've been reporting a lot for us over the last 18 months. How did you find it, those last 18 months here? Was it quite isolating, or was it good that you're able to continue to go about your daily business as a farmer?
Like, I in a way, I feel quite guilty about it, because I really enjoyed my time here. Like, everyone that was... And my heart went out to people that were cooped up, like, in apartments and in cities and stuff like that. But I just had a fantastic time with Granny. I really did. And not having to go up and down to Dublin to work every week, I loved it, you know. And even now, I can't really see myself going back to Dublin. Mm. You know, ideally, this is where I'd love to be long term. But I feel really privileged. And Granny and I had great fun. Like, we really did. Yeah, we really did just have great fun throughout lockdown. And even, say, when restrictions were easing a bit and stuff, we were kind of looking at each other going, oh dear, do we have to get back to real life now?
Well, she keeps me on my toes. I think she thinks I'm 20 years younger than I am. She totally forgets.
Yeah.
But, you know, even the fact that, unfortunately, I lost... one of my younger brothers, and my memory of him here, he came one day and we were just being so careful about the COVID, and he sat here and he stayed for ages, and he was so happy, you know.
Yeah.
So we've had some very rewarding times and
sad times.
Well, yes, it is sad, but we can't dwell on that side of it either. Mm. You know, I think of him now. I think of him sitting here and how happy he was.
Since the first lockdown in March 2020, Hannah and Catherine have recorded audio diaries throughout for Countrywide, and the series scooped a bronze medal at this year's IMRO Radio Awards earlier this month. Here's a reminder of some of those reports, including the first time we were actually introduced to Catherine working on the farm.
I won't reveal your age to anyone, but I think it's fair to say you're closer to 80 than you are to 70.
Oh my God, that even gives me a shock. I don't even think of myself as being 70, let alone nearly 80. So, yeah.
Because some people are going to be listening and they'll be like, what are you doing with a lady over 70 helping you on the farm? But when it's a partnership, it's you and me together.
It is, yes. And you've been working all morning. So I spent the morning...
I've been working at a desk all morning.
At a desk all morning, and I've been working outside preparing the different areas and closing in opening gates here and there where necessary. So, yeah, and we're all ready to go now. Come on, Betty, good girl.
Even in lockdown, there was new life on the farm. There was Damien, the bull calf.
The cow is trying to calve, but the calf is breech. So I've called the vet because it's too risky. She could possibly calve herself, but it's not looking like it. So I've just called the vet.
Will you give me a shout when he comes?
I will, yes.
Okay, that's great. So we called the vet, but Granny has called me. What's happened?
Yes, she calved herself. He's a huge calf. But But she's doing all the right things. He's got a bit of fluid in his mouth, but she's licking him very well, so I think she's doing a good job.
And was he coming backwards and she just got
He was, it? Yes. Yeah. They do, you know, they can do, but I suppose she's such a big cow and everything else. I thought she might, but I thought it was too risky, so I've cancelled it now.
Wow.
Yeah, he's huge, huge cow.
Oh, well, that's a happy end to a story, isn't it?
Isn't it? He's a huge calf. I'll get a pinch of salt and put it on his head. Let me get him to... She needs to lick him around his face. He's got a lot of fluid. He's got a bit of fluid in his lungs.
Chief midwife, well done, Granny. Oh, that's great. You know what we're calling the calf, don't you?
What's that?
Oh, I think there's a special name for the calf. We might have to call the calf.
Toriel Rambo. That was another Rambo.
No, not another Rambo. Might have to call the calf Damien, I think.
Oh, Damien. Oh, yes. Toriel Damien. Sounds good.
And we also heard about the arrival of new goslings.
There's one gosling. I can definitely see one.
One little head peeping out, yes.
So Granny's clambering over the fence now.
Yes.
Is there a second one there? Is it moving?
Yes, two goslings. Oh, that's lovely. Two. Excellent. Yes, I better come away now and leave her.
They're a bit vicious, aren't they?
Oh, they are. And she's quiet by goose standards. She's actually a quiet goose.
Two baby goslings there, after all.
Two baby goslings and there are four more eggs. So hopefully we might get a few more.
They're little fluffy sort of grey and yellow replicas of her, aren't they?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, she's very happy now and she's sitting very well, so that's excellent. Now I need to go and hard boil some eggs for the goslings for the first few days. And then after that we'll give them a bit of chikrom, which is a special feed for young chickens and goslings. Oh, they're so cute. Look at that. She's made such a lovely nest, lovely cosy nest with straw and feathers all around.
Just a sample of some of the stories we heard from Catherine Quinn and Hannah Quinn Mulligan on Countrywide during the height of the lockdowns, which won an award at the IMRO Radio Awards earlier this month. So congratulations to Catherine and Hannah on that.